Continuing now with The Meaning of the Mass by Reverend John Kearney, CSSP, and the chapter on the prayers of the Mass. To get a convincing view of the dominating idea expressed by the prayers of the ordinary, we may examine the first prayers of the three great divisions in the action of Holy Mass. In these prayers, God is addressed with such epithets as manifest our faith in Him as the absolute supreme Lord. At the offertory, we address Him as omnipotent, eternal, living, and true, as the giver of eternal life. At the preface to the canon, we address Him as Holy Lord, Father Almighty, eternal God, whom the angels worship, crying out, Holy, 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 whose glory fills the heavens and the earth. Before communion, God made man is addressed as taking away the sins of the world, as the giver of peace and of eternal life. In these same prayers, the priest and those who with him offer sacrifice speak of themselves as totally dependent on God. At the offertory, they speak of themselves as unworthy servants, guilty of innumerable sins, faults, and negligences, dependent on God for salvation and eternal life. At the preface to the canon, they speak of their obligation to give thanks always and in all places. All blessings have come from God. At the communion, they speak of their dependence on God-made man for peace, for pardon of past iniquities, for protection from all future evils, for the grace to keep in his friendship, and to be preserved from eternal separation. They ask that all, unworthy as they are, their receiving of Holy Communion may not, by his mercy, displease him, but may be a safeguard and a medicine for the soul. One dominant idea stands out, that God is supreme, and man is utterly dependent on him for everything. The prayers express emphatically and in a loving, childlike spirit that God is the source and the beginning of all that man has, and that he is that end whose possession will alone satisfy man's craving for happiness. The text of the ordinary, therefore, expresses the same ideas as the act of sacrifice itself. They express the attitude of soul in which we should approach and participate in the sacrifice of our Savior, and it is in this spirit that the prayers should be recited. All these prayers end with the words, Through Christ our Lord, because it is only through Him and in union with Him that our acts and expressions of docile submission are acceptable to our Father in heaven. This dominant idea of God's majesty and our own willing dependence as His children should always be carried forward to the thought of our final union with Him in happiness. Our surrender to God here is a means to the more perfect union with Him. In this union, and only in this union, all our desires, all our cravings, will be perfectly satisfied. For Thyself Thou hast created us, O Lord, and our hearts are restless till they rest in Thee. The Ordinary and the Proper. In the text of the Mass, we have the words that refer to the sacrifice. They are always nearly the same, and those that refer to the feast of the day. The former constitute the ordinary of the Mass, the latter the proper. The words used by the priest at Mass thus form, as it were, two parallel streams. They express two parallel lines of thought. These two lines of thought are intimately related to one another. The ordinary is the expression of the state of soul one should be in when offering Mass, a disposition of profound reverence and childlike submission to God in union with the dispositions of Jesus. The proper, on the other hand, puts before us thoughts which are calculated to help us to place our souls in this disposition and to keep them so. In the proper of the Mass, either our Lord in His mysteries, His Blessed Mother, the angels, or the saints with the special characteristics of their lives come before us as an example, an encouragement, an inspiration, or as manifestations of the goodness of God. Thus we are led to thank God for the past, to ask Him for all we need for this life and the next, to acknowledge our dependence on Him in everything, to resolve to please Him in all things. In a word, we are led to realize and accept our position as God's children and as destined to share His eternal happiness. All this implies a disposition of filial subjection and loving surrender to God, which disposition makes us conform to Christ and capable of uniting ourselves with His sacrifice. The spirit of the proper is condensed, as it were, in the collect. The first part of the collect refers to God, and the words used about Him manifest profound reverence, while the second part, by words of petition for a favor suggested by the feast, expresses how absolutely we depend on Him for our present needs and for our eternal happiness. The words of the ordinary should be carefully and prayerfully considered. The number of Catholics who use the Missal at Holy Mass is now considerable. They read the words of the ordinary at the same time as the priest says them. These words, placed on the lips of the priest by the Church during Holy Mass, have to be recited rather rapidly, both by the priest and by those who use the Missal. Hence, for those who use the Missal every day, there may be a danger that the words of the ordinary be read without the realization that they are permeated by the one great idea which is expressed by the sacrifice, and without understanding how each prayer is linked with those that precede, as also with those that follow. In consequence, the words may be recited in a mechanical manner. The following study of the ordinary is intended to be a help to better understanding and a more prayerful reading of the text. This result will be most surely attained if the explanations we give are used as a help when the text of the ordinary is made the subject of mental prayer. The points we develop in the following chapter are therefore entitled Materials for Meditation on the Text of the Ordinary of the Mass. A great many excellent books have been written on the text of the ordinary. The history of each prayer has been set forth. The depth of devotion in the individual words has been explained. The origin of the ceremonies has been made clear. Those who love the Holy Sacrifice will naturally be drawn to study these books and will do so with profit. The following chapter has a different object. We take the words said by the priest as given to us by the Church and as praised by the Council of Trent. We give a simple explanation of the line of thought they suggest, so that when saying them, the fundamental idea of sacrifice may be kept in mind, and the sequence of thought, as one prayer follows another, may be easy and natural. These explanations of the text will make it clear that the meaning of the act of sacrifice is found all through the prayers presented by the Church. Some special ceremonies associated with the ordinary. During Mass, the priest kisses the altar frequently. This is a mark of respect for the altar, which is the throne of the Most Blessed Sacrament, and an expression of affection for Christ Himself, of whom the altar stone is a figure. He is the stone which was rejected, but which became the chief cornerstone of the building. You are fellow citizens with the saints and the domestics of God, says St. Paul, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The priest holds his hands extended when he prays. It is an attitude of supplication or petition, and as we've seen, nearly all the prayers are prayers of petition. The posture recalls that of Christ on the cross, who prayed with arms extended. At the close of the prayer, the hands are joined to signify an increase of fervor in our petition. This is so natural that anyone praying fervently would do the same. The priest raises his eyes to heaven several times during Mass. This he does in imitation of our Lord, who, as the Gospel records, acted thus. The sign of the cross is frequently made three times together. This is to remind us of the Most Holy Trinity, whose absolute dominion is expressed by the Holy Sacrifice. The priest bows profoundly before the altar. This is a manifestation of reverence for God adoration of His majesty, recognition of man's absolute dependence, all of which, united in one disposition of soul, are expressed by sacrifice. The sign of the cross over the host and the chalice is made before the consecration to remind us that by the merits of Christ crucified, we expect blessings. Hence the word bless is always used after the consecration to remind us that it is the same body that was attached to the cross. The significance of certain words used by the Church in the Mass. In her liturgy, the Church uses words with a certain freedom when there is no doubt as to her meaning. Thus, for instance, in the Requiem Mass, she speaks of the judgment of the departed soul as if it had not yet taken place. After the consecration at Mass, she speaks of the Blessed Sacrament as the holy bread of eternal life, although there is no bread there. The word gift, in the early centuries, when the faithful received Holy Communion under the species of both bread and wine, it was customary for them to bring and to present at the offertory the bread and wine required for the holy sacrifice. On account of this, the material of the sacrifice was called a gift, or oblation, or present, the gift of the faithful. All through the text of the prayers during the offertory, the word gift has this meaning. But the Church continues to use the words gift, or present, or oblation, in the same sense during the canon of the Mass, up to and even after the consecration. The word gift is used thus by the Church because, although only the appearances of bread and wine remain, the faithful have given the bread and wine. The word sacrifice. In sacrifice, as said already, we distinguish the body of the sacrifice, that is, the sign or act which signifies the disposition of the will, the soul of the sacrifice, that is, the disposition of the will which is expressed. The disposition is called the interior sacrifice. The act which expresses this is called the exterior sacrifice. In practice, we find that the word sacrifice is used during Mass for both elements taken together, and also for each taken separately. Moreover, the word sacrifice is sometimes applied to the matter, the bread and wine, which is being prepared for use in the act of sacrifice. When in referring to Holy Mass, we speak of an acceptable sacrifice, or when we ask God to accept our sacrifice, we refer to our interior sacrifice, in other words, our disposition, and we ask God to perfect our disposition of surrender to Him and of union with our Lord's disposition, so that our sacrifice may be, on this account, acceptable, or to be pleased in His goodness, with the expression of our real, though imperfect, subjection and union. The word to offer. The meaning of the word offer when used in relation to sacrifice has been explained in the text. But, on account of its importance, it seems advisable to give some further details. The word offer comes from the Latin offero, towards, and to carry. Hence it means to bring forward, towards, to bring forward, to exhibit. The past participle of fero is latum, hence the words oblatio, oblation, meaning the thing brought forward. The Greek words which are found in the book of Leviticus and the epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews, which are translated in the Vulgate by offero, mean simply to bring forward, to set before. As we've seen, the expression to offer, when used in relation to sacrifice, means to bring forward, to lay before God. This act is symbolical. It expresses God's ownership of the things brought forward and of all creatures. The word is used in the same sense when we speak of offering prayers. Thus the Church says, "We offer Thee, O Lord, our prayers and our gifts. We lay both before Thee. We bring both before Thee." The priests of the Old Law laid the victim or the blood at the altar. The priest of the New Law laid Jesus on the altar. The word offer has other meanings also. We say to offer an insult, to offer an apology, to offer violence, to offer resistance, to offer to go on a difficult mission, to offer to die for another, to offer my actions to God, to offer my sufferings to God. These examples show that the word offer is used in the sense of doing or saying in the presence of another something special, which expresses the state of the will of the speaker or doer. It expresses a deliberate willingness. Thus, our Lord is said to have offered himself on the cross because he willingly accepted death. To quote St. Thomas, Christ exposed himself to death of his own free will. For this reason, he is said to have offered himself. To offer my sufferings to God means that I wish to bear them in God's presence, because it is God's will that I bear them. I offer myself to God when I express my willingness to do his holy will in all things, and to bear, in union with Christ, the daily cross which he wishes me to bear. When we speak of transferring the possession of something to another person, the word offer is not quite the same as give. To give implies the actual transference of the possession. The thing in question begins to belong to the recipient. To offer means to propose to give, to ask the other person to accept, to lay the thing before him. As regards Holy Mass, to offer may refer to the act of presenting the material of the sacrifice, that is, the bread and wine, to the act of consecration, by which Jesus is laid on the altar. The word victim. In the sacrifice of the Old Law, the animal that was killed was called the victim. It was a figure of Christ on the cross. Our Lord on the cross was a victim. He let himself be crucified. He accepted to suffer. He was a willing victim. He was a victim of love because it was his love that made him to be willing to suffer. In the Mass, our Lord is still called the victim because he suffered on the cross, and the Mass is the perpetuation of the sacrifice of Calvary. Our interior sacrifice, which is expressed by the Mass, implies the destruction in us of all that is opposed to our total surrender to God. It implies destruction, therefore. And hence, we ourselves are the victim of the interior sacrifice. In ordinary language, the word victim is used of a person who is made to suffer. The word priest. It is the priest who unites together the interior sacrifice and the exterior sacrifice. That is, it is the priest who, by his words or acts, gives the spiritual meaning to the exterior sign. He makes the ritual ceremony to be a sacred sign of divine worship. The priest, by doing this, offers the sacrifice. Our Lord, by his words before the Passion, and especially at the Last Supper, gave the spiritual meaning to his death. He was, therefore, the priest of the great sacrifice. Chapter 9. Materials for Meditation on the Prayers of the Mass. We may divide the text of the Ordinary into seven parts. The text itself suggests a division. The preparation, from the beginning of Mass to the end of the Creed. The offertory, from the beginning of the offertory to the end of the secret prayers. The preface, from the beginning of the preface to the end of the Sanctus. The canon, from the Sanctus to the end of the little elevation. The Our Father and the beginning of the prayers for peace, from the beginning of the Pater to the end of the Pax Domini. The communion, from the Agnus Dei to the end of the communion of the faithful. And the thanksgiving, from the communion to the end. The following is the line of treatment. After a general introduction to each part, we shall consider the prayers, and for each one, after the Latin title, the first words, we will give an explanation of the content of the prayer, and then give the text. Thus, the text can be read in the light of the explanation. In a few cases, a short note is inserted in the text of the prayer. The explanations given before the text are in most cases very simple, as complicated or subtle ideas normally give little help to prayer. The preparation, from the beginning of Mass to the end of the Creed. The text of the Ordinary, in this first part, is governed by the idea of preparing the soul to enter more fully into the disposition of reverence, of filial subjection, and loving surrender to God in union with the unreserved surrender to the will of his Father, which was the characteristic of our Lord. The following short paragraphs give a general idea of the sequence of thought in the first part of the Mass. Consideration. The psalm Judica Mei Deus is a meditation or contemplation on the work we're going to do and a petition for the help which we realize to be so necessary. Contrition. The Confiteor, with the prayers said ascending the altar, and the Kyrie Eleison are petitions for pardon. Sin is the opposite of the filial submission to God which is expressed by sacrifice. Joy and gratitude. The Gloria in Excelsis breaks in, as it were, in the general line of thought followed in this first section of the Ordinary. It is a cry of joy drawn forth by the adorable goodness of God manifested in the Incarnation. Petition. After the Gloria, the Church makes solemn petition in the Collects for spiritual favors, all of which lead the soul to perfect her disposition of dependence on God as a creature and a child. Instruction. Instructions and exhortations from the Old and New Testaments follow the Collects. These are contained in the Epistle, the Gradual, and the Gospel. They likewise lead us to place our soul in the disposition of reverence for and docility to God. Faith. The first part of the Ordinary concludes with the Creed, which is the great fundamental act of childlike reverence for God. In the act of faith, we willingly subject to God our mind, our highest faculty, by willingly believing all he has revealed, just because we have his word for it. Judica Mei Deus. This psalm expresses the dispositions of soul which should be found in the priest about to offer the holy sacrifice, and in the souls of all who are united with him. It contemplates God as the source of all blessings, as the source of grace, of strength, of perfect happiness. And it contemplates God's human creature as conscious of sinfulness, of weakness in face of its spiritual enemies, and hence oppressed by sadness, yet confident in God and desirous of casting off the old man and of offering to God the supreme sacrifice. Antiphon. I will go on to the altar of God, to God who giveth joy to my youth. Judge me, O God, and distinguish my cause, this sacrifice, from the nation that is not holy, from the unjust and deceitful man, my sinful self, deliver me. For thou, our God, art my strength. Why hast thou cast me off? And why do I go sorrowful whilst the enemy afflicteth me? Send forth thy light and thy truth. They have conducted me and brought me to thy holy mount, the altar, and to thy tabernacles. And I will go on to the altar of God, to God who giveth joy to my youth. I will praise thee on the harp, O God, my God. Why art thou sad, O my soul? And why dost thou disquiet me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the salvation that I look for, and my God. The Confiteor and the prayers that follow. The account already given of the nature of sacrifice proves clearly the need of contrition when we prepare to celebrate or unite with the celebrant in Holy Mass. Contrition implies the redirection of our will towards God and away from sin. Hence the priest and the server, who represents the people, both say the Confiteor. The priest, going up to the altar, says, Take away from us our iniquities, we beseech thee, O Lord. When he kisses the altar, he asks pardon for his past sins through the intercession of the saints, Oramus te Domine. And after the introit, he again asks for mercy in the 9 petitions of the Kyrie Eleison, 3 to the Father, 3 to the Son, 3 to the Holy Ghost. The old Irish custom of striking the breast at the elevation expresses the instinctive understanding of the simple faithful that to offer the sacrifice we should reject all that is opposed to our obedience to God, for sacrifice is a sign of our soul's submission. We cannot be contrite except by God's grace. Hence, the priest, before he begins the Confiteor, says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." I confess to Almighty God, to Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, to Blessed Michael the Archangel, to Blessed John the Baptist, to the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul, to all the saints, and to you, brethren, that I have sinned exceedingly in thought, word, and deed, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore I beseech the Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, Blessed Michael the Archangel, Blessed John the Baptist, the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul, all the saints, and you, brethren, to pray to the Lord our God for me. May the Almighty God be merciful to us and forgive us our sins and bring us to eternal life. Amen. May the Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon, absolution, and remission of our sins. Amen. Thou wilt turn to us, O God, and give us life, and thy people will rejoice in thee. Show us, O Lord, thy mercy, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come unto thee. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. The prayers when ascending the altar. Take away from us, we beseech thee, O Lord, our iniquities, that we may be worthy to enter with pure minds into the Holy of Holies. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We beseech thee, O Lord, by the merits of thy saints, whose relics are here. He then kisses the altar, and of all the saints, that thou wouldst deign to forgive me all my sins. Amen. The Introit. This belongs to the proper. Kyrie eleison. Lord be merciful. Christ be merciful. Lord be merciful. The Gloria in Excelsis Deo. In this angelic hymn, we praise each of the three divine persons. We adore, we give thanks, we beg for mercy. We ask that our prayers be received. Thus we mention the four ends for which we offer Mass. Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will. We praise thee, we bless thee, we adore thee, we glorify thee. We give thee thanks for thy great glory, O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takest away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Who takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Who sittest at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For thou alone art holy, thou alone art Lord, thou alone art most high, O Jesus Christ. Together with the Holy Ghost, in the glory of God the Father, amen. The collects, the epistle, the gradual, the Alleluia, and the Gospel all belong to the proper. The Credo. The Creed should be said with a firm soul, but in a spirit of humble gratitude. Our faith is God's gift. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and born of the Father before all ages. God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, by whom all things have been made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and became incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. He was crucified also for us, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and he ascended into heaven. He sitteth at the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, of whose kingdom there shall be no end. And in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, I confess one baptism for the remission of sins, and I expect the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Offertory. From the beginning of the Offertory to the end of the secret prayers. The prayers of the ordinary during the Offertory are concerned with two main ideas: the preparation and the presentation to God of the matter, the bread and wine, and the preparation of the souls of the priest and of those united with him for the interior sacrifice. The Offertory closes with the secret prayers. Preparation for the external sacrifice. In the early centuries, the faithful brought forward and laid before the priest the bread and wine needed for the sacrifice and for the communion of the faithful, and also for the support of the priest. Hence, this part of the Mass got the name Offertory. We read in the office of St. Wenceslaus, King, that he appreciated this early custom so much that with his own hands he sowed and reaped the wheat and pressed the juice from the grapes so as to have a large share in preparing the bread and wine. A reminder of this beautiful custom is found in the Mass of the consecration of a bishop. The priest, about to be consecrated, presents to the consecrating bishop two loaves of bread and two small barrels of wine. The external sacrifice for which we prepare at the Offertory is the expression of the wholehearted surrender of Jesus to the will of his heavenly Father, and also the expression of our surrender, which we unite with that of Jesus. Unfortunately, on account of the perversity in us through original and actual sin, the subjection of our will to God is seldom perfect, and we are seldom perfectly united to Jesus. Hence we frequently, during the Mass, ask God to accept our sacrifice, that is, to be pleased in his goodness with the expression of our imperfect dispositions. This petition implicitly asks that God would perfect these dispositions. We know, of course, that God will accept our sacrifice if it represents sincere, although imperfect, subjection, and if this subjection is united with that of Jesus. But we can ask God for what we know he will grant, just as Jesus asked his Father to glorify him. Susipi Sancte Pater. The first prayer directed to our Father in heaven is said by the priest when holding up the host on the paten. The paten is the gold plate on which the host is laid. In this prayer, the thought of the priest envisages the consecration for which he is preparing, and the graces of contrition and forgiveness and salvation which are given at that moment to all Christians. Accept, O Holy Father, Almighty Eternal God, this spotless victim, which I, thy unworthy servant, offer unto thee, my God, the living and true, for my own innumerable sins, faults, and negligences, and for all here present, as also for all faithful Christians, living and dead, that it may avail both me and them unto salvation in life eternal. Amen. We pray for persons and also for favors. Deus qui. In preparing the chalice, the priest puts a drop of water into the wine. The union of water and wine recalls the goodness of God in assuming our human nature, the mystery of the Incarnation, and also our intimate union with him. We are made partakers of the divine nature by grace. O God, who in a marvelous manner didst create and ennoble man's being, and in a manner still more marvelous didst renew it, grant that by the mystery of this water and wine we may be made partakers of his divine nature, who hath deigned to share our human nature, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who with thee, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, livest and reignest, God, forever and ever. Amen. Offerimus tibi. The priest then presents the chalice, as he did the host. His thought and his words again go forward to the consecration, to the sacrifice of Jesus with which the Church unites her internal sacrifice of childlike subjection. This sacrifice, according to the dispositions of men, will bring the grace of salvation to the whole world. We offer unto thee, O Lord, the chalice of salvation, beseeching thy clemency, that it may ascend before thy divine majesty with an odor of sweetness for our salvation and for that of all the world. Amen. The preparation of the internal sacrifice. Having prepared and presented to God the matter to be consecrated, the priest turns to the preparation of his own soul and the souls of all who are united to him, the perfecting of the disposition of filial submission to and a dependence on God, which is expressed by sacrifice. To this internal sacrifice are referred the remaining prayers of the offertory. In spiritu humilitatis, humbly bowing down before the crucifix, the priest asks that God may perfect our dispositions of humility and contrition and childlike submission to his majesty, so that our sacrifice, which is the expression of this disposition, may be pleasing to him. The words used indicate simply and clearly the fundamental dispositions required for and expressed by sacrifice. In the spirit of humility, and with a contrite heart, may we be accepted by thee, O Lord, and thus may our sacrifice be so offered in thy sight today, that it may be pleasing unto thee, O Lord God. Veni Sanctificator. Raising his eyes and his hands to heaven, the priest makes the sign of the cross over the host and the chalice. While so doing, he asks God for the blessings which the Mass brings so abundantly, the blessings merited by our Savior. The Gospel told us that Jesus himself blessed the bread and wine before the consecration. Come, O Sanctifier, Almighty, Everlasting God, and bless, make a source of blessings, this sacrifice made ready for the honor of thy holy name. Lavabo. The perfection of our union of will with God implies our aversion from and our rejection of any attachment to sin, even to the smallest sin. The sincere desire for this disposition is expressed by the priest washing the tips of his fingers, not his hands, while saying the words inspired by the Holy Ghost which the Church has chosen. The psalm expresses the desire for purity, the appreciation of the privilege of being engaged in the worship of God, and also the need of divine protection. I will wash my hands among the innocent, and will compass thy altar, O Lord, that I may hear the voice of praise and tell of all thy wondrous works. I have loved, O Lord, the beauty of thy house, and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Destroy not my soul, O God, with the wicked, nor my life with men of blood. In whose hands are iniquities, their right hand is filled with gifts. But as for me, I have walked in my innocence. Rescue me, and have mercy on me. My foot hath stood in the right way. In the churches I will bless thee, O Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Suscipi Sancta Trinitas. The Mass is a sacrifice and also a memorial of the Passion, and the celebrant bowing down before the altar asks God to accept, to be pleased with, our act inasmuch as it is a memorial. He then asks for eternal salvation through the prayers of the Blessed Virgin and the saints, whom he honors by associating them with the Holy Sacrifice. Receive, O Holy Trinity, this oblation which we make to thee in memory of the Passion, Resurrection, and Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in honor of the Blessed Mary, ever a Virgin, of Blessed John the Baptist, of the Holy Apostles Peter and Paul, and of those whose relics are here, and of all the saints, that it may be available to their honor and to our salvation. And may they, whose memory we celebrate on earth, vouchsafe to intercede for us in heaven. Through the same Christ our Lord, Amen. Orate Fratris. When the priest has asked the prayers of the blessed in heaven that God may accept the expression of the humble docility of all present and of the whole church, he turns to the faithful and asks their prayers also, saying, "Brethren, pray that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty." The server, in the name of the brethren, prays as requested. "May the Lord receive the sacrifice from thy hands to the praise and glory of his name, to our benefit and to that of all his holy church." This clear public statement shows that all present form one with the priest in offering sacrifice. The Mass is a social act. The word sacrifice, as the prayers indicate, means first of all the interior sacrifice, the interior disposition of each one present. This disposition should be similar to the disposition of Christ and should be united to his disposition. This is possible because he is the head and we are the members of one mystic body. He is the vine and we are the branches. The secret prayers. The offertory ends with the secret prayers. These prayers unite the ideas of the preparation of the matter and the preparation of the soul of the priest, and they ask God to be pleased with the offerings of the faithful and to give his blessings. As examples, consider the secret in the Mass of St. James. "We beseech thee, O Lord, that the blessed passion of St. James the Apostle may render the offerings of the people pleasing to thee." And the secret of the last Sunday after Pentecost. "Be propitious, O Lord, to our supplications, and while accepting the offerings and prayers of thy people, convert all our hearts to thyself, that being free from earthly desires, we may pass to heavenly longings." The meaning of the Mass and meditation on prayers of the Mass will continue on tape number 5. Please join us.